Thank you, my brother, for the reading of God's Word. And you do well if you open your Bible in the book of Daniel in chapter 1 just to follow the sermon this morning. The Bible is filled with accounts of many godly men and women who are worthy of our emulation. One such a person is Daniel, a man who obtained preeminence and power in his lifetime in the wrong country. Let me show it to you briefly in the introduction, because I really envy Daniel. When I was young, I wanted to be a politician so badly. I was elected senator of my country at the age of 27, and I cannot be in office because the law required to be 30 years old. And the politicians around me told me, we fix your age. And no, that will not be integrity, don't we? And so as a young man, I won my country to stand for truth, and I win the election, and I can't believe it myself, because I never debated anybody, I never did anything. They just put my name, and because I was in soccer, everybody knew my name and became popular. Now let me give you a briefing on Daniel as an introduction. He started out prominent in his hometown. Look with me in chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. It's not that he became prominent. He was already prominent in hometown. And that teaches a lesson that unless you are active in your local church, you don't want to be successful somewhere else. Look at here. In the third year, I'm reading verse 1, of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with some of the articles of the houses of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the articles into the treasure house of his God. Now here comes the record. Then the king instructed Ashpenath, the master of his eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles. Nobles mean the cookie, good, smart cookies. All right? Verse 4. Young men in whom there was no blemish, I mean top physical quality, but good looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. The king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and their years of training of men, so that at the end of that time they might serve before the king. And here comes the name. Now from among those of the sons of Judah, there were Daniel. So he already was a man of prestige, a man of knowledge, a man of quality there. He gained preeminence among the wise men of Babylon. If you look in chapter 1, in verse 17 to 20, the Bible tells you that he gained preeminence there. As for these four men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all wisdoms and dreams. Now at the end of the days, when the king has said that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king interviewed them. And among them all none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, and therefore they served before their king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in all his dreams. And Daniel continued until Cyrus. That means he was a prime minister under Nebuchadnezzar. And when an election came in, the new king came in, and it's like a secretary of war. They accepted Daniel as a prime minister also. So he became very famous in Babylon. He was given power over Babylon. Now, you're talking about a Jew in Iran, okay? I want you to know that. You're talking about a Jewish person, Jews of the Jews, elites of the Jews, in Iran. In chapter 2, verse 48 and 49, you find that he was given power over Babylon. The king, I'm reading verse 47 in chapter 2, the king answered Daniel and said, truly your God is God of gods, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, since you could reveal these secrets. Then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts, and he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief administrator of all the wise men of Babylon. He became the prime minister in a foreign land, enemy of Israel. The guy was so good, so faithful, so God reflecting, that the enemy of God cannot resist him. He received similar power when all the, you understand history, the empires changed, and then the Medo-Persia, the actual Iran, came in power. And remember Belshazzar went down and Darius came in. And if you go to chapter 6 of Daniel, and verse 1 to 3, you see that he received similar power of the Medo-Persian Empire. This is called the Medo-Persian Empire that, remember, conquered even. Nobody can touch it. It was the largest empire, 37 provinces and so on. And look at what happened. Chapter 6, verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120, governors, satraps is a Arab word for governors, to be over the whole kingdom. And over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the governors might give account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to setting him over the whole kingdom. Daniel was not selected because of his college degree. Daniel was not selected because he was a excellent administrator of money. He was selected because the king knew that you cannot fool Daniel. Neither Daniel will fool anybody. He was a man of an excellent spirit. When I read that and I glanced more and more and more, I can go for 2-3 hours telling you all the great things that happened. I asked myself this question. How was Daniel able to reach this position of power and influence without compromising his position as a godly man? See, some of you maybe want to study law, and some of you want to study politics and be in America, and I encourage you. I'm encouraging Jacqueline to change the measures and become a politician so she become a senator. But we need Christians who stand in this country. How can these man, people say, oh, cannot be done. Yeah. Daniel did it. How? If we take a good close to the book of Daniel, not the theology of the events that touch the book of Revelation, which is Daniel giving you, he was so smart that God said, close the book. Not studying Daniel as a ground for the book of Revelation, but studying Daniel in the book of Daniel, if you just read the book of Daniel, to study the man as a psychiatrist, and you look on it, the book reveals secrets about him. How he stood in the midst of this political arena and he survived. And I'm going to try to remark at least four of them. First, we notice that even as a young teenager, Daniel was a man a purpose. Did you get the idea? Purpose. I remember in the 70s, when I started seminary in 71, the dean sat down across me. It was an old man already, 31 years old. And he said to me, what is your purpose of coming here? I don't think anymore they do those things, but there was a man, a 70-year-old man, asking me, 31, said, you're a successful man in your profession. What is your purpose of coming to study with us? Now, that is a key question, all right? Here is what happened. Daniel was a man. Thank you. This is my Spanish help. All right. Daniel was a man, a purpose. Look in chapter 1, verse 8. Look at what the Bible said. And Daniel purpose, not in his mind, that's intellectual knowledge, but he purpose in his heart. A young boy in a strange land, Daniel was immediately faced with a challenge to violate God's law by eating the king's food. Now, you who are Christians know the book of Leviticus established clearly in chapter 19:23 that any Jewish people cannot eat foreign food because that represents unity with the unbelievers, with the infidels. And that was a picture of your consecration in life. Later on, God called Peter. Remember that Peter saw food coming in. He said, well, I will not eat of that. And God said, please eat, because God now has the reality that he reaches everybody. Before it was only the Jewish people. So they were instructed that only they eat the Jewish food. And as a young man in a strange land, what is he going to do? Despite his youth, and the obvious pressure to conform, Daniel purposed in his heart, said this verse, to uphold the law of God, no matter the cost. That's what the Bible said. And Daniel purposed in his heart that he will not defile himself. That's what the book of Leviticus called. If you eat food that does not belong to the Jewish people, you defile yourself. A picture of you don't mess around your life in the world. You walk and talk and live like a Christian. Because of his willingness to put God first, God granted Daniel favor before others. Look in verse 9. Now God had brought Daniel into favor with his kindness or grace and goodwill or mercy of the chief of the eunuchs. Very soon he is going to be confronting the chief executor of setting up these men. And he found grace before them. How God did this is not explained in the Bible. But it happened. Really happened. You know, every child of God need to be a person of purpose. No one respect a wishy-washy person. Someone with no direction in their lives. Who say one thing and do something else. What should be the purpose of the Christian? What? All right. Move your Bible to the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 6. Jesus gave you a clear picture. What should be the purpose of a Christian life? You know it by heart. Matthew 6, verse 33. Jesus is speaking and he said, but seek ye first. You got it? First. One. First. The kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all the things shall be added unto you. Seek the will of God and fulfill it in your lives. Young people, you want to be successful, you seek the will of God and you fulfill the will of God in your life regardless the cost. And Jesus promised this will guarantee to you God's favor toward us and in turn, likely gain us favor in the eyes of those people around us. Look at the complete verse. But seek first the kingdom of God and righteousness, and all these things, all the junk of this world, will be added unto you. And I, between parentheses, is mine for trouble, for difficulties. See, Daniel was a man of purpose. He knew the law. He was taught by his parents, and therefore he fulfilled it even alone. Alone. Sometimes Jacqueline writes to me and said, I'm alone. So Daniel, I said, Jacqueline. So Daniel, you are no new in the world. Stand alone. So I had to debate these guys in Harvard University. Stand strong and debate them. Put them on the floor. Come on, stand. Looks like I want to revive myself in the life of Jacqueline. And she's a talker, no? So she knows how to do it. But it's a strength in your life. Strength because they challenge your belief, but they cannot challenge your walk. I told that, Jacqueline, the secret of your life is not your speech. That's a gift you have. It's your walk. When you walk like a Christian and talk like a Christian, you're going to be respected. I remember when Miriam asked me, in Davis University, alone. She said, Daddy, I'm 16 years old, first year at university. I'm alone. No, you're not alone. God is with you. You dress like a lady with high heels, scarves, and you walk like a lady, you talk like a lady, you're going to respect like a lady. And at the end, in 3 years, she finished pre-medical school, and she said to me, one dentist told me, he said, you know, we'd like to take your girl out so we can do sex. And very soon we saw a lady. And we all promised to keep her safe. And I cry. Because God isn't that way, my brother. When you stand in the principles of God, God does. How he do it, I don't know. But he does. Will you be a person of purpose like Daniel? No matter how young one may be, it is never, never too late to seek the first, the kingdom of God, and his righteousness. Through his life, Daniel not only had a strong sense of purpose, but Daniel was a man of principle. All right? He refused to compromise his convictions. As a young man, by refusing to eat the king's meat or drink. Look in chapter 1, verse 8. He refused to be like the king. But Daniel said, verse 8 in chapter 1, purpose in his heart that he will not defile himself with a portion of the king's food, nor with the wine which he drank. As a young man, he refused to eat the king's meat. As an old man, he refused the gift of Belshazzar. Look in chapter 5. When he became super smart, the government wanted to use him. And of course, want to buy him. And he refused to receive gift from unbelievers. Look at it in chapter 5, verse 13. Then Daniel was brought in before the king. And this is King Belshazzar, the son of Nebuchadnezzar. Remember there was a handwriting on the wall? And that was the son of Nebuchadnezzar. And he cannot find somebody to tell what's wrong. And somebody told him, hey, if you call this good cookie guy, Daniel, he tells you. Verse 13, then Daniel was brought in before the king. The king spoke and said, Daniel, are you that Daniel who is one of the captives from Judah, whom my father, the king, brought from Judah? I have heard of you that the Spirit of God is in you. You hear that? He did not say, I have heard that you have 2 doctor's degrees. No, sir. Young people, what really mattered in your life is the Spirit of God in your life. That's what really matters. The Spirit of God in you, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom are found in you. Now, the wise men and the astrologers have been brought in before me. that they should read this writing and make known to me this interpretation. But they could not give the interpretation of the king. And I have heard of you that you can give interpretation and explain enigmas. Now, if you can read the writing and make known to me its interpretation, you shall be clothed with, it is colored purple, you know, is the color of when you get your degree. And when you get a degree in theology, you got purple all decorating you. That means you are like God. That's what the color means. Now, if you can read the writings and make known to me its interpretation, you shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around your neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Now, what Daniel going to do? He refused the people's food. Now, will he receive the gift? And then he's bought and is in the hand of the king. Verse 17. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, let your gift be to yourself. Wow. Wow. Isn't that amazing? And give your rewards to another. Yet I will read the writings of the king and make known to him the interpretation. You see, he was a man of principle. A man of principle. And so he refused the food, he refused the gift, and under the threat of persecution by refusing to obey the decree of Darius, the next king. Look in chapter 6 and in verse 10. They said to Daniel, you cannot pray any longer. You have to pray to the king. And look at what he did. Chapter 6, verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, and as was his custom since early days. See, you don't learn to pray right away. You learn to pray when you're one. Josiah is going to learn to pray with mama and papa. The righteous girl is going to learn to pray from mama and papa. See, you don't learn just at 20. You learn when you're a baby. People admire persons of principle. Don't be a fool. Outwardly, they may ridicule them, but inwardly, they wish they had the same intestinal fortitude. Oh, they maybe give you a hard time, but inside, they want to be like you. God admires individuals who will stand by their principles and their works. Show you. Go to the left to Psalm 15, a psalm who tells you who is going to heaven. All right? A lot of people ask me in the McDonald's, who's going to heaven, doctor? Okay, I cannot tell you, but the psalm can tell you. Look at chapter 15 of the book of Psalm, verse 1 to 3. Here's what the psalm says in Psalm 15, verse 1 to 3. Lord, now you know, capital A letters, it means Jehovah. Jehovah, that means God of Israel. Who may abide in your tabernacle? Here's a question. Who is going to be in heaven? The answer. Who may dwell in your holy hill? Who's going to be there? The Catholics? The Protestants? The Muslims? The Hindus? Who? Here's the answer. Verse 2. He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart, he who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. He who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. In other words, when you walk like a Christian, then you know you go to heaven. It's not when you say, I am a Christian. It's when you walk like a Christian. Doesn't matter if you're a Catholic. Doesn't matter if you're a Protestant. Doesn't matter which branch of Christianity you belong to. But you need to walk like a Christian. I need to see a Christian who fulfill the word of God in your life. And you need to see a Christian in me who fulfill the word of God in my life. That's the person that is in heaven. America is in great need of people with principle. We have churches everywhere, principles nowhere. Those who, like Daniel, demonstrate by example the value of being led by principle rather than by price are not only highly valued by God, but also by their fellow men. Having purpose and principle is not all. Another element for true success is needed. What that element is can be seen when we observe that Daniel was a man of purity. You get that word? Purity. Purity. More people I talk in the street, more people I talk, workers in McDonald's and so on, they're partners. And they are not married. That is no purity. So, well, that's the way to do today. Really? That was the way to do right at the beginning of the world when sin came in. This is not new. That happened. Read the Bible. Purity. His opponent, the opponents of Daniel, could not find any fault in Daniel. Let's go back to Daniel 6. I tell you, they look for a fault. You know how the enemy is. They look for something in your life so they can put a finger on it. Look at in Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. He was faultless when it came to management of his business affair. I'm reading Daniel chapter 6, verse 1 to 4. It pleases Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps, to be over the whole kingdom, and over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them so that the king will suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. Verse 4. So the governors and satrap sought to find some charges against Daniel. You know something? You are a teacher in the school. The other teachers who know you are a Christian, they're trying to find what's wrong with you. You are working in some place, and you are faithful to your company, faithful to your boss, and the people are trying to find what's wrong with you. We live in a glass house, my friend. My neighbor's trying to see what's wrong with me. You know, because when I blow my driveway, I blow theirs driveway. And he said, why you do that? Because I want to, my wife likes to see things clean. And when we look through the window, your driveway is not clean, so I clean it for you. And they feel mad about it. He said, no, we do it. No, I don't charge you. Just bring me chocolate cake one day or two in the week. And I do it and I have fun. And I'm trying to teach their children to do it. Verse 4, so the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault because he was smart to hide it? No, because he was faithful. Wow. Wow. Nor was there any error or fault found in him. Wow. Can you imagine working 365 days a year, no error? I tell you, when God bless you, He bless you, and you will know it, and the people around you will know it. These would help to explain His rise to positions of great responsibility and power. Of course, his purity in business affairs was related to two things. One, his overall purpose to please God. Remember, he purposed to please God. And number two, the fact that as a man of principle, he could be trusted. The king could say, okay, you take care of these affairs. He knew that he's going to do it right. You know, this is not only for Daniel. The Christians is also to maintain purity in their conduct. Look at in 1 Timothy chapter 4 in verse 12, what the Bible says to Christians. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. Paul tells Timothy, a young fellow, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, and in purity. See, people are to maintain purity in their dealings with others, and if you do, often you raise to positions of great responsibility and privilege because you are trustworthy. Daniel was a man of purpose. Daniel was a man of principle and a man of purity. But there is one thing that I found in Daniel that ties all of these together. Purpose, principle, and purity. There is one there is one thing that Daniel had that put the whole thing together, and that's prayer. Prayer. Go with me to Daniel chapter 6 in verse 10. And look at what the Bible says. Daniel 6 in verse 10. And look at how Daniel prayed. It is amazing. And now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he did two things. He knelt down, we do that on Wednesday night here, on his knees, three times that day, and pray. I like it. He said, what did he pray? He did not say, oh, look, these Chaldeans, Lord, they're trying to hurt me. No, he prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom. He don't even bother about the decree that if you pray to God, your neck's going to be cut. He said, Lord, you're a great God, powerful, mighty, wow! With the windows open so everybody can hear it. He prayed. He did two things in prayer. First, he knelt down. That's humility. People do not pray because they're not humble. You need to humble yourself before God. Remember 2 Chronicles 7:14? If my people humble themselves, you kneel down. Lord, you're in control. I thank you for whatever you do in my life. I thank you. I want to glorify you. I want to be the best husband. I want to be the best wife. I want to be the best daughter. I want to be the best son, Lord, because of you. Doesn't matter if your father is good or bad. Some people said, should I obey my fathers when they're good or bad? That has nothing to do with you. That's your father's responsibility to be good. Your responsibility is to be the best son you can. The best daughter you can. That's your responsibility. And then what he did? He did three times a day, continuously. Not just pray once. It was a habit of life to pray. We are so busy in America that we find no time to pray together as a family. Everybody eats standing. I hate that. I love, my wife set the tablecloth, a nice, knife, the silver knife, a nice plate. If I die, I don't want somebody else to use it new. I don't use it all. But I want to sit down, I dress up, and we have a conversation. It's just beautiful. Take time to enjoy your life. Your life is not the garden, it's not the window, it's not the carpet. It's your wife, it's your daughter, it's your husband. That's your life. We lost that, then we lost America. Three times, continuously. As Christians, remember 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Do not stop to pray. What God is telling us, there is a false assumption that to get ahead in this world, one must conform to the sinful practices of this world. There is a false assumption. But even today, there are Christians who demonstrate that when one dares to be Daniel, they can succeed in their fears of men without selling their souls to the devil. Do not sell your soul to the devil. How about you? Will you dare to be a Daniel and become a person, a purpose, principle, purity, and prayer? Will you do that? Will you say, God, regardless how the economy goes, regardless how the country is, regardless how crazy our president is, making statements and false statements about the foundation of America and Turkey, irritates me. I wrote a big letter. So you need to apologize to the American people. Amen. This country is not founded about Muslims. This country is founded about the Christianity upon Israel foundation. And we need to stand. Even if we lose our head, we need to stand. And I'm so glad that my voice goes across America. But we need to stand with our life too. We need to show our life of care and love and concern and purity. Let's pray that God will raise us strong so that people may see what God has done with us. Lord, thank you that today you gave us a challenge. We think that we are living in difficult times. Now, difficult times was Daniel times. We think that we are living in times where everything go wrong. No, Lord, this is not. In Daniel's time, the question of belief was raised. And today also, America kills babies, millions of them a year. And that irritates me and should irritate every Christian. They call it, there is a women's right. There is no right. The only right we have is going to hell. But the blessing that we have is that God has saved us from hell. Lord, we need to change this country. We need to change around our own life and show the world that America is no surrender to the enemy. But we raise ourselves up, standing like a light in the middle of the night so that people may see the peace and the work of God. Lord, help me to have a strength and health to voice your word everywhere. Help Pastor Tomlinson to have a good life, to keep doing the same. He's more political than me. So, Father, we're not political. We're standing on the truth. And so, Lord, bless America. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Spirit to the work on earth.
please. All of the benedictions. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful for you. And so now, unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.